Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LiveTiles Limited second quarter results update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Carl Redenbach, CEO and co-founder. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It's Carl Redenbach, co-founder, CEO of LiveTiles. I also am joined on the call with Rowan Wilkie, our Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for joining. First thing I would say is that we'll give you a short presentation, talk about some of the highlights for the quarter, and then Rowan will go through some of the financials and the numbers, and yeah, happy to take some Q&A as we go. So first thing I've got to say is that we couldn't be happier with the performance in the business, certainly over the last 24 months when we look at our growth record. Getting to 52.7 million in annualized recurring revenue now makes us the fastest ever Australian enterprise software as a service company. And we think that's a pretty amazing achievement to go beyond the 50 million in recurring revenues. And as I said, not only are we the fastest ever Australian enterprise SaaS for our age, a bit over 4 years old, we're now one of the world's fastest ever software as a service companies as far as growth rates is concerned. So with our growth at, 7.6 times in 2 years and 130% just in the last 12 months, we're well on our way for our short-term target of $100 million of recurring revenue, which is not just firmly in our sights, but we're really setting up our business to go well beyond that in what we see as a $13 billion plus market opportunity, where we are merely just scratching the surface, about 1% of that market today. So there is a very large market opportunity in front of us. We remain as the leader in the internet software market. And more importantly, we are really revolutionizing employee experience when it comes to embedding artificial intelligence into the workplace. And for those that don't know what we do and those that might be new to LiveTiles, we are the world's leader in internet platforms and internet software. That means that we work with some of the biggest companies in the world to really help their employees collaborate, engage with information, and really make their productivity another level. So we're very pleased with that. We did put into the statement some of the key customer wins that we put forward in the last 90 days. They are some of the biggest companies on earth, companies from Luxembourg to Switzerland to the US and to Australia. Very large companies in just about every segment you can think of, and as I said, we've got these blue chip sort of household names that we continue to grow with, well over 1,000 customers now, and really setting up our business. And for a company that's only a bit over 4 and a bit years old, we think that's a pretty amazing achievement to get sort of 1,000, really solid names. And most importantly, as well, we're seeing our ARR or annualized recurring revenue average customer value going up as well, which has really been a focus of ours. And as I said, not only one of the fastest, but also extremely efficient. You'll see Rowan will talk about the efficiency in where we're going with our spend. The other thing I would say, just to give you some general highlights, is that our pipeline continues to be extremely strong. We have a very, very positive outlook for 2020. Last year, in about February, March, We acquired a company called Wisdom, who is based out in Copenhagen in Denmark. And the great news is that we've been able to integrate the products together in what we call a bundle, which is the LiveTiles suite of products with our AI products based with now the really enterprise-rich features that Wisdom brings together. And we've seen the benefit of that in the last quarter, and we're going to continue to see the benefit over the next few quarters and the next year and beyond. And that's an exciting thing for the company to see. The next thing I would say, for those that may not know, we also acquired a company just late last year called Cycle, and they have a couple of products, one called Matchpoint and one called Condense. They're based in Switzerland. And one of the great things that we've been able to do, and we've just started the sales motion and selling into companies, what we call the frontline worker solution. And the frontline worker solution really opened up a completely brand new market, we think, for LiveTiles, which is the what we call kiosk workers, which are the retail or manufacturers, people that may just have a mobile phone, they may not have a desktop computer, and we're able to now sell a full suite of solutions, not just at an enterprise level, but to every single employee in just about any company, whatever device they have. So to us, that's a really exciting feature that we've now been able to add and showcase. And last but not least, before I throw it over to Rowan, is that we are really embedding ourselves more and more with Microsoft. We're certainly leveraging and essentially piggybacking off the brilliant results they're having now around Azure, around Office 365, and the relationship is getting stronger and stronger. We presented at what's called Microsoft Ignite, which is their largest customer conference of the year, which is in Orlando, Florida, earlier this year, November last year, and essentially they showcased us again on stage presenting to their biggest customers, talking about how we're working together with them to really revolutionize the workplace, revolutionize employee experience, and embed AI to provide, you know, employees with a completely different way of working. And so to have their backing, it's getting stronger. It's getting we're getting more exposure across the Microsoft field. And even as for example, for tomorrow, you know, we're sitting down with about 13 Microsoft reps, a combination of European Microsoft people, the US Microsoft field, and some Australian Microsoft Asia Pac reps, where we're actually planning out our 2020 go-to-market and co-sell motions with Microsoft. And we are co-sell ready in 39 different countries with Microsoft, which means that the Microsoft field sellers can actually sell all of the Livetiles suite of products, including Wisdom and Cycle now, to their customers directly, and the actual Microsoft field representatives receive a commission, not by us, from Microsoft themselves. In other words, Microsoft are paying their own field sellers to sell the Livetiles suite of products into their enterprise customers. So we're seeing more and more of that happen, and again, for a company that's only 4 and a bit years old, we certainly have put on a very high pedestal with all of the Microsoft field and Microsoft reps. So they're the exciting highlights. There's obviously a lot more to go through. We have a short amount of time because we want to get over the Q&A. So I'm going to just pass it over to Rowan, who will give you the financial highlights.
Thanks, Carl. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining. As Carl said, I'll briefly go through the ARR growth, talk about cash receipts, our operating expenditure during the quarter, our cash burn, our outlook for operating expenditure for the coming quarter, and our cash position. Starting with ARR, as Carl said, $52.7 million as at 31st of December 2019, and that's up 130% year-on-year and up 7.6 times in 3 years. During the quarter, that growth was $9.8 million when compared with 30 September. And that's really split into two buckets, one of organic ARR growth of $5.1 million, up materially on Q1 organic growth of $2.8 million, and that was augmented by the acquired ARR from Cycle of $4.7 million. In terms of customer numbers during the quarter, they rose, driven by organic growth, obviously the acquisition of Cycle. And as we called out a couple of weeks ago, we recognized some higher than typical churn during the quarter, primarily smaller customers, and that's actually resulted in a higher average ARR per customer at $51,000. As we look ahead during Q3, we expect materially lower churn in our ARR book. In terms of cash receipts, our cash receipts growth continued to deliver. We had another record quarter with cash receipts of $10.4 million, and that was up 154% on the prior corresponding period. In terms of our underlying operating expenses, I'll get to that before getting to cash burn. We provided guidance for prior to the Cycle acquisition for operating expenses of $16.2 million. We haven't and don't provide post-acquisition splits between our acquired businesses. What we can say is that Cycle had a neutral cash impact during the quarter, excluding acquisition consideration payments and transaction costs. And so excluding Cycle, our underlying operating expenditure was below our guidance. We are pleased with our cost control in that regard. And we had some non-operating cash items during the quarter that we called out, $500,000 in redundancy payments, and that really relates to ongoing cost efficiency and some operational measures we took during the quarter. And we'll continue to look to make changes as our business needs change and our structure needs change, and continue to focus on constraining our cost growth as we add to revenue. We also had $200,000 in some legal costs and also transaction costs related to the Cycle acquisition of $200,000. In terms of net cash outflow from operating activities, our operating cash burn, that was $6.7 million in the quarter, and that's an underlying improvement on the September quarter where we saw operating cash outflow of $9.1 million when you exclude the $3.8 million in R&D incentive. Looking ahead for the March 2020 quarter, we expect gross cash operating expenses of approximately $18.6 million, and that reflects a full quarter's contribution of the Cycle cost base, as well as continued constrained cost growth in the legacy Lifetiles and Wisdom businesses. In terms of cash on hand, as at 31st of December 2019, we had cash on hand of $46.6 million. And we just wanted to remind investors that we continue to expect $3 million in R&D incentive grant payments relating to historical R&D expenditure. So with that, I'll hand back to the speaker and open up to some Q&A if there is any.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Cameron Holkett from Wilson's Advisory. Please go ahead.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Rowan. Good to speak to you. Thanks for taking the time today. Quick question on the customer churn. So it looks like these were in the lower sized cohort of your overall customer base. Do you have a feel why that was the case in the quarter, why it seems what I estimate around 30 customers left the product? Thanks.
Yeah, sure, I'll handle that. In terms of the customers that we churned during the quarter, they were primarily smaller customers and really reflecting some of Lifetiles' very earliest customers. I wasn't in the business at the time, but certainly in my time at Lifetiles, looking at the ARR book and talking to the team, as you scale a product and launch, the guys were pursuing customers from all walks of life in the US to start with and in Australia, and some were, you know, very small in terms of their dollar value. So we don't see the churn during Q2 as any sort of ongoing trend of customer support or acceptance for any particular product. It's predominantly in the legacy Lifetiles product suite and really reflecting some of the earlier customer acquisition. And that's why we've called out in Q3 explicitly that we expect some lower churn.
Okay, so you're not seeing any signs of, you know, growing competition, particularly in the smaller space? I mean, you guys are clear market leading, but I know there's a couple of other smaller competitors here trying to make a go of it, so you're not seeing anything along the lines of competition?
Yeah, look, just in relation to the market, it's an immature market. I mean, we think it's less than sort of 1%, and probably more importantly, yeah, there are certainly smaller competitors that are popping up, but we are by far the largest player in this market, and in fact, it's sort of a good thing. I think where you see competitors come into a space, it means that I think you're actually onto something. And when we started this just literally 4 years ago, there was zero, and we led the market. We're still much well and truly the market leader by many, many times. And so from our perspective, despite the fact there might be some smaller players entering, we think that's actually a positive thing. Certainly when it comes to educating customers so they can understand, you know, what this new type of internet software, the value proposition and why you go about it. And certainly we think that it may even be something that actually helps us certainly in the short to medium term when we look at the market maturing over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, effectively free marketing. Okay, if I quickly just move on to staff costs. You mentioned some redundancies. Is this just largely relating to the overlap from now? I think it's about 3 acquisitions. You're just seeing some overlap in kind of general functions?
Yeah, it's a good question, Cameron. So in the large part, no, actually, it's not reflecting integration implementation. It's actually more to do with a restructure we undertook in terms of aligning our operating teams in all regions. So it actually covers all 3 regions, and it's not in one particular area of the business. So it's more streamlining the Live Tiles operation. As we look ahead for calendar 2020, we are implementing a deeper integration with Wisdom. We've talked about it at the time of our capital raising. We're implementing some new systems, and we'll do that this year. And in time, we'll also integrate Cycle more deeply. But that's operationally something that, you know, we will continue to do from time to time as the needs of the business and size of the business changes.
Okay, great. And just one last thing, if you don't mind, is when we look to the kind of Q3 guidance for staff costs, that actually takes quite a step back, despite that being a full quarter with Cycle as part of the broader business. So can you just talk to the reasons as to why that actually steps down compared to Q2, given redundancy was actually separated into a non-core item? Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So the redundancy costs are the implementation costs of staffing costs. And so in Q3, we have signaled in the composition of the 18.6, and ultimately we give indicative operating guidance under the Appendix 4C framework for the total cost base. And try to give some sense of how we see that playing out by line item. The reason for the lower staff costs really reflects the impact of the redundancy costs flowing through in terms of recurring staff costs in Q3 and future quarters. As we, beyond Q3, you know, as a growing business, we will be adding to our cost base. The reason why we're doing restructures and operating alignments from time to time is to continue to challenge our effectiveness of our spend.
Okay, excellent. I'll step out for the moment. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Justin Pisano from BOEQ. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, guys. Congratulations on the result. It looks pretty good. I've got a few questions. The first is in regards to the N3 sales agreement. Can you give us some colour on the performance of that over the quarter?
Yeah, look, I might give you, look, we continue to expand our sales channels in all areas. I suppose one thing that I didn't touch on in my little update was the fact that we are now working with a set of really integrated partners. So Live Tiles have transacted across our group with over sort of 200 transacting partners globally, partners from just about every corner of the globe. And one of the things that we've done very well in the last quarter, and in fact, you know, there's an argument to say that we could have increased our ARR if we weren't doing this, but certainly we spent a lot of time with partners for the first time doing an accreditation program. So we had roughly around about 60 partners globally, 60 people, sorry, being fully accredited across our Live Tiles bundle. And I think, as I mentioned a bit earlier, we now have a very broad suite of what we call intelligent workplace offerings, which doesn't just include enterprise intranet or bots. It includes data and AI. It includes a whole raft of different offerings that are very valuable to customers, but probably as importantly, certainly for us as a company that's trying to scale and scale efficiently, you know, looking at the gold standard in this, which is Microsoft, who has done this better than anyone in the last 40 years, and that is working with a key set of partners. So one of the things that N3 has enabled us to do is to not only obviously look for new partners, but more importantly drive leads, transactions with that, with those partners. And I think what you'll see from us over the next few quarters and beyond is that now we're a 4.5 years old business. And, you know, 4.5 years ago we had zero revenue. We've now got well over 50, which, as I said, makes us one of the fastest ever SaaS companies in the world. That we're able to now have a credible customer base, have a suite of products that adds real value to customers, and importantly, from a partner perspective, they're able to add a whole lot of services around it. And we're seeing N3 help us there. We're certainly seeing N3 help us with some direct selling that we're still doing, but I think you'll see more and more from us, our partner channel, continue to grow, and for our sales to continue to be really efficient, because we actually don't pay those partners. They get a commission for selling products, so we actually don't transact with them. And even for the accreditation that we did, we had it go on in the US and in Europe and all across Australia. Those partners paid for their people to fly in to get trained up. And more importantly, those people, which were their senior people, like principal consultants, people that provide consulting services to customers, these people usually charge anywhere from $1,700 to $3,000 per day. And they put themselves out for 3 or 4 days to get trained up on this suite of packages. So we see even, and that was done in around about November and early December. So what we see from that training and from that, the commitment that those partners have made is that you'll see that will exponentially grow, and do it in a really efficient way, our revenues going forward. So that's the exciting thing we saw from last quarter.
Okay, great. And just one more question if I can. Just in regards to the acquisitions over the last couple of years, in terms of remaining earnouts, if all things go well and you have to pay out the maximum earnouts, can you give us an idea of what sort of scrip needs to be issued or cash payments to be paid?
Pardon me.
Justin.
Pardon me, this is the lead operator. Mr. Redenbach's line has just dropped off, so I'll just try and get him on the line momentarily.
Sure, thank you, Taylor. Justin, in terms of the details of those acquisition and earn-out payments, all I'd say is I'd point you to the earn-out as disclosed in the acquisition presentations for both Wisdom and Cycle. So just to remind everybody, earn-out payments for Hyperfish or earn-out hurdles for Hyperfish have been met and stock has been issued, and that occurred in July 2019. In relation to Wisdom, that will be tested in February. So we're just reaching the point of earn-out testing for the Wisdom acquisition. The cash consideration or component of that is capped, depending on what level if they hit, and that's what level they hit, is capped at $12.9 million. And in relation to sites, we'll have more to say about that in February once we go through that review process of their ARR growth. During the 12 months post-acquisition, and in relation to Cycle, per the acquisition presentation, we've stepped out the cash and stock components over a two-year earn-out period, with hurdles around ARR, software growth, and also EBITDA profitability. But happy to pick that up in detail if any of that's not clear once you review the pages, Justin.
Okay, thank you.
Pardon me, this is the operator. We now have Mr. Carl Redenbach back on the line. And once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I will now give you a moment to register your questions. You have a follow-up question from Cameron Halkett from Wilson's Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just actually one last one from me, if you don't mind, was that with the Q3 kind of indicative guidance you have, for R&D and product operating costs, so these step up also. Now, that is also, I mean, obviously some of that's going to be from Cycle. But is the delta compared to Q2 largely the contribution that Cycle, the cost that Cycle will need, or is it partly Cycle and partly, growth in the LiveTiles cost base? Thanks.
Just in terms of mix, it's largely Cycle, but some modest growth in the LiveTiles product team as well. We continue to invest in our products and we have to.
Excellent. Perfect.
you. Your next question comes from C.Y. Wong from Breakthrough Party. Please go ahead.
Hello. I will have a couple of questions. Firstly, is the cash receipts. What is the average lag time between when you acquire a customer to when you get paid?
Sure. The lag time varies depending on the complexity of the project. So the way our business model works in terms of sales through to billing through to cash is, and even at the point of ARR recognition where a customer commits to purchasing software and services from LiveTiles, there's then a period, depending on the complexity of the project, where the project is delivered and the customer's software platform goes live with us. It's at that point that we bill, typically, and then we have a standard commercial terms in terms of 30 days for cash receipts. The reason we do that in terms of billing rather than at the point of customer commitment is typically in the software industry, service providers choose between discounting their software so that customers are feeling as though they have a discount when they're paying for something they haven't yet received. And we choose to typically bill at the point of customer actually getting the value of what they're paying for. That can be in terms of like anywhere from a few weeks to all the way through to the large complex projects of 6 months. And so that depends. And as we go with larger enterprise customers, the cycle tends to lengthen in terms of project timeframe.
Okay. Another one is, you said in the AGM that you were building up the sales partners. Are the numbers of sales partners increasing or decreasing?
Yeah, so I might answer that.
Go for it, Cal.
Sorry, Rowan, I'm on the line again. So the numbers are obviously with Cycle and Wisdom, who have their own partner channels that have been brought into the group. So the overall numbers would be increasing. However, we are actually focusing on what I would say is a smaller set of partners. We are going much deeper. I talked a little bit earlier about the accreditation process that we actually just implemented last quarter for partners, where they're investing time into understanding the whole LiveTiles product suite and including Wisdom and Cycle, where they're getting trained on it. So it's a sort of hard question to answer, because it is still increasing. However, I think you'll see that we are focusing on a core set that are really building their entire businesses around our product suite. And that's a really great way to measure our future success and where we're going. And we've got these partners now that are literally committing, you know, and they typically are some of the smaller, what we call systems integrators, anywhere between, say, 10 people to 50 people, where they're actually committing their entire businesses into our product. And from our perspective, we're building a really, really tight ecosystem. I mentioned we're meeting up with Microsoft tomorrow globally to plan out our 2020 plan with them directly. And a big part of that plan is how do we go about making sure that we facilitate the right partners to get them excited and to really, share success across all of our organisations. So from our perspective, it is still a very key strategy, and we're doubling down over the next few quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Redenbach for closing remarks.
Yeah, great. So thank you for all joining the call. Really appreciate time. We're very excited about 2020 and where we're going, and look forward to speaking again in the not too distant future. Have a great day or night, wherever you are. Thanks, everyone. Bye.